All right, Supreme Court Justice Thomas today wrote in the case the court had decided to not hear an appeal from a marijuana case out of Colorado, I believe. Quote, a prohibition on interstate use or cultivation of marijuana may no longer be necessary or proper to support the federal government's piecemeal approach. What does that mean? We'll turn to an expert, Thomas Howard, of cannabis industry lawyer from Collateral Base, joins us on a phone line. Thomas, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Okay, let's let's go right to the case first. So this Colorado clinic was a medical marijuana dispensary, was arguing that it should be able to claim tax write-offs, tax deductions that other businesses can. It's not able to because the IRS doesn't allow it. So I know that they didn't hear the case. Does that mean the dispensary has to continue not writing off expenses?
That's correct. The dispensary has to continue to abide by IRC 280E, which is the one aspect of the federal marijuana laws that the marijuana that the federal government appears to want to enforce. And that's really what Associate Justice Thomas was lampooning. And he even used one of my favorite sentences after you've really just beaten a dead horse. It's I could go on. Period.
Right,
and
right.
So every other place you look at the federal level, it appears that the federal government does not want to enforce the federal marijuana laws unless it is the tax code, and then they are collecting effectively twice the tax because you're not allowed to collect any expenses of carrying on your operation, so like rent, employees, all that.
And so Thomas was in the minority in this case.
Hmm. This is a fascinating aspect of the opinion. It is not an opinion. It's a non-opinion opinion in the sense that they declined to hear the case. So there has been no resolution on the case. But in their declination to hear the case, they've effectively ruled that IRC 280E still stands. But this memo or this opinion that he has on not hearing the case is effectively like a putting out the welcome mat that we might reverse where we were 16 years ago in the Gonzalez v. Rage case.
Well, but Tom, that's not what I don't understand. So if the majority of the court decided not to take the case, that would seem to uphold the IRS's position. Thomas wrote in, as you said, the declination that it might be time for the law to end. So if the majority of the court said they weren't going to reverse anything, why would the marijuana industry be encouraged by simply an opinion of one justice, I should
say? And yes, it's just the associate justice. Perhaps he could not convince the Supreme Court Chief Justice who sat on the court when the Raich case was originally decided to take the case, perhaps. Now, it's a statement from Justice Thomas, and I believe Thomas voted in the affirmative under the Raich case back in 2005. So it's kind of like a welcome to maybe they aren't going to answer this question, but they might answer the Raich case question differently next time.
And what was
so
the Raich
like
case?
Putting out the welcome.
The Raich case had
to do with whether or not the constitutionality of the marijuana prohibition could stand the muster, because it was a completely state issue where the state had licensed the person to cultivate the cannabis. The state had licensed the person to receive the cannabis as medicine. Nothing moved in interstate commerce. And the court, in that sense, said it doesn't matter because of Wickard v. Filburn from the 40s, where a farmer who grew too much wheat impacted the price, the aggregate price of wheat, and therefore they could regulate it as interstate commerce. It's really the furthest reaches of the interstate commerce clause, and maybe they'd rein that back in, because now not only is something completely in state, they have effectively said, provided that you are compliant in state, we shall not enforce federal law.
But U.S. attorneys,
unless it's the taxes.
Yeah, I was going to say, U.S. attorneys have been told not to really prosecute this. Most of the federal government, as you've said a couple of times here, looks the other way, but not all of it. So what does this federal prohibition on paper mean for the cannabis industry?
Well, currently it means that the state rules that we're currently under operating under will continue. So the state laws that we have will be the ones that the federal government is effectively enforcing. The federal government stopped raids. Like, I haven't heard of a federal cannabis raid since 2012. And as a result of that, the states and their rubrics and how they're regulating the plant is going to be what will continue to occupy the field. And I believe Justice Thomas referenced the laboratory of democracies, and that will continue to play out. But as that goes, it may get a challenge, much like the Raich case, and have it revisited 16 or 17 years later, whenever the Supreme Court may or may not take that up.
Thomas is one of the most conservative members of the court, if not the most conservative. Is his, in this case, a conservative position?
It's a very conservative position. It's a states' rights position. It's a federalism position, in fact. And he calls into the very question of what it is to create a crime or to regulate public safety is completely germane to the police power that is held by the states and not the federal government. And as a states' rights, more conservative, limited government activist on the court, Justice Thomas is referencing what they believe the states should be doing. And then if the feds aren't going to enforce the law, it's a little disingenuous of them to say that they won't enforce it, they won't enforce it, they won't enforce it. Hey, pay your taxes. Okay, we're enforcing it now.
And also then, I'd always heard that businesses, marijuana businesses, had trouble with cash and payment because of banks or setting up automatic payment plans or things like that. Is that still the case?
Absolutely. It's Bank Secrecy Act and Anti-Money Laundering Act. And so there's a few federal laws that are out there that govern federally insured financial institutions so that they do not really want to touch the marijuana industry. The marijuana businesses may be able to get treasury services, and there's some fairly advanced blockchain answers where they kind of disintermediate the cash into a coin, and it's all these workarounds to try to be able to provide banking services as it is money laundering. It's a federal crime. My first clients were financial institutions. My first cannabis clients were financial institutions. And I would have to explain to them the federal guidance coming from FinCEN, the enforcement network for banks, basically, at the Treasury Department, and how they could compliantly violate federal law. It boggles the
crazy
mind, you know?
Well,
yeah,
so
it's crazy. Go ahead, sir.
I don't frequent dispensaries. I just haven't been enticed by it. But can I buy marijuana with a credit card?
No. So, I mean, if you do, it wasn't a real transaction. There was some type of fraud that may be going on. That was Ease. Ease was a payment solutions provider making that purported claim, but they were just committing fraud, and some of their founders were actually just sentenced.
So because of this quasi-federal enforcement, you have to pay in cash to buy marijuana at a dispensary in Illinois?
Yes, there are some cash-free ATM solutions or some, like you would have a gift card that might be able to be swiped.
I see.
I've seen solutions like that. There are interesting, innovative payment provider solutions, but there's no credit card merchant codes that you can use.
Thomas Howard is a cannabis industry lawyer from Collateral Base. Thomas, you're a great help. I hope we can talk again.
Oh, can I tell people to subscribe to Cannabis Legalization News on YouTube?
No.
That's where they can find me.
You may not do that, Thomas. Yeah, how do they do
crap.
It? Tell me again, how do they find you?
Go to Cannabis Legalization News on YouTube.
All right, thanks a lot. We'll talk again.
Thanks, man.
You're listening to Chicago. I feel like, well, you don't have to say it. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. We're going to head into the newsroom coming up, man.